This is the second of three lectures delivered in the Drummond Lecture Series at Stirling University in Scotland by Father Gustavo Gutierrez, called Doing Theology. All three lectures can be downloaded from the website of Alastair McIntosh, www.alastairmcintosh.com.
To redefine what Christianity might be for the 21st century, I can only describe as having been really good news. He's affirmed that some of the things that we've been struggling with in Scotland are not the thoughts of mavericks who have lost their way, but are thoughts that reflect the concerns of large numbers of people around the world. When he said last night that theology is not about religious metaphysics, that certainly rang a few bells in my own thinking. When he added that social science has an important place in theology, and he said, I don't believe in liberation theology, I believe in Jesus Christ, then I recognized the kindred spirit in many different ways. He further went on to say that the purpose of theology is to help the Christian community to announce the gospel. Theology is not about abstractions, but about life. And in that, he stands in a long tradition in South American Christianity. He referred last night to Bartolomé de las Casas. And I recall hearing Justo González describe las Casas some time ago in these terms. He said, these voices of compassion, las Casas and other Dominican priests of the time, they spoke as they did because they heard a different voice. And as I've listened to Father Gustavo in the last 24 hours, I certainly felt that for me, he was coming with that different voice. And so as he describes to us tonight how we might do theology in the new situation, not only I, but many of those of you who've been with him for much of today, I'm sure we come with apprehension and with expectation that not only will we hear Father Gustavo's voice, but that different voice, which comes through the centuries from Las Casas and from other sources, we might hear that as well. So welcome again to our second Drummond Lecture, Father Gustavo. We welcome you and we look forward to what you have to say to us.
Well, thanks again for your presence here this evening. Last night I have recalled in the context of theology of liberation, we have two main points: the perspective of the poor, to read our history, to read the Christian message also. And the other is the way, the manner to do theology. To ask in the very beginning about the meaning of theology is a very classic question. And for us, very, very important. Chronologically, these two points, the perspective of the poor and doing theology, are the first in theology of liberation, even before the expression theology of liberation, the reflection about the perspective of the poor and the manner, the way to do theology, were before the expression of liberation theology. I would like to deal this evening with this second point, doing theology in our context in the Latin American world. And today, you know well, we have several liberation theologies in the world. in other contexts, not only Latin American, but from black people in the United States, Hispanic people there also, or in Asia and so. And each theological perspective has its own personality, but we have many points in common. I would like to develop this point to do theology, doing theology, in 3 points. I have always 3 points. I don't know, maybe it's my philosophical background in Friedrich Hegel, was the great philosopher of in my studies in philosophy, or maybe it's my Trinitarian devotion, I don't know. Or maybe because I have learned in the seminary to do a meditation in 3 points, but I have 3 points. The first is to recall the meaning of theology, any theology. Theology is always a language about God. It's one manner to speak about God. In some way, God is the only one subject of the theological reflection. The other points are relevant if they are related to this notion, this idea, the notion of God. It's always a language about God. Liberation theology also. It's a manner to speak about God from the sufferings and hopes of poor people. But it's always, again, one way to speak about God. And it is classic to say in theology, how is possible for us, believers, to speak about God? According to the Christian revelation, God is a mystery. Mystery is not a problem. A French philosopher, Gabriel Marcel, has learned to us to distinguish between mystery and problem. Mystery is a global reality. We are inside of this global reality. For this reason, we have some difficulties or limitations to understand this reality. And at the same time, a Christian mystery is not for few persons. A Christian mystery must be communicated to everyone. How to deal with this question? In the context of theology of liberation, we affirm, we have in theology 2 steps, 2 moments. The third one has 2 aspects, contemplation, prayer, worship. Without contemplation, we have not Christian life. Contemplation is a very pagan word, but it's prayer. Without prayer, we have not Christian life. And this is one aspect of the first moment. A second aspect is to be committed to other persons, to put in practice the will of God in our lives, especially the preference for the little ones. Without commitment, without historical commitment, we have not Christian life. Prayer and historical commitment are the two basic aspects of Christian life. This is the first moment or first step. In some way, is a moment of silence. Silence about God, in the sense we are not speaking on God during our prayer or our commitment. When I say historical commitment, I am thinking to several kinds of commitment. Political commitment, for example, is one expression of this. Or evangelization is another expression of historical commitment. This is the first moment in theology, is Christian life. The theology comes after. This is life, and we call practice or praxis these two aspects together. Because to pray is a practice also, and to be committed, certainly. We call this first moment practice. Theology comes after. It's a reflection. And it's a moment of speaking on God, strictly speaking is this, is a language on God. Second moment. Theology is a second moment. Theology comes after. Unfortunately, theologians come after sometimes also. But it's not the question, because the theologian must be a Christian. And if a theologian is a Christian, he must be present in the first moment, in the first step. That is to say, to speak very briefly, to pray, to be committed. And without prayer, without commitment, without praxis, we have not the matter of our reflection. And theology comes after. This distinction between these two moments were present in our first works, first writings. And you know, now I think I was not so clear in the beginning, 25 years ago, is very classic, is very traditional, finally. And I am not afraid toward the word traditional. It depends on tradition. And Saint Anselm of Canterbury, he was not exactly a liberation theologian, but he said, credo ut intelligam, I believe in order to understand. Please note, it's not I understand in order to believe. But first it says, credo, I believe, in order to understand. Faith is the first moment, and comprehension, reflection, understanding comes after. We have had many difficulties in the theological circles from this distinction, because we were often accused to be too pragmatist persons, and to say theology comes after is a second moment. Second moment is not secondary moment. It is a little pejorative. A second moment comes after. And a theologian must be a member of a Christian community committed in many actions and in order to do theology. And we have received, we have received several critics from some academic theologians. I would like to precise, maybe paradoxically, I am not exactly against to academic theology. Depends. If academic theology is, John has mentioned this, if academic theology is an abstract reflection far from the concrete life of people, yes, this is not my question. But if academic means to know seriously the Bible, the historical, the history of theology, and contemporary theology, you know, we try in liberation theology to be academic in this second sense, because it's not serious to deal with the scripture without a good knowledge about that. And I am conscious many works about the scripture, the Bible, are not so relevant for our things, normal. But I cannot personally to do theology in my country, in Peru, without reading important works about very key texts of the Bible. And if academic theology is this, scientific aspect is one aspect of theology, we don't try to do a rhetorical theology and to impress people because we are working and living in a poor country. Well, this is one important element in my theology. It is true, but we try to do seriously, if possible to speak so, our theological work. I repeat, if academic means intellectual, only intellectual questions, in this case, yes, we are far from this. But this second moment, theology as second moment, is a key point for us. And maybe I can illustrate this point doing a comparison, a parallel between what we can call modern theology, it's a very important and relevant theology today in the churches, and liberation theologies, especially Latin American, made in my continent, but it is good for other liberation theologies also. Theology is, in some extent, an answer to questions coming from the world of in which the Christian community is living and announcing the gospel. Theology tried to answer questions. An old example, the theology of Saint Augustine, for example. I am thinking to the Two Cities, this classic book. Well, it's a reflection about a historical fact, the fall of the Roman Empire. and many questions for Christians from this so important event for persons at that time. The Two Cities is a theological reflection about this place, the fall of Roman Empire. And theology is always trying to find the language to speak about God, it is some phrase about God, in one moment, in one historical moment. And we have, in order to understand the meaning of a theological reflection, we need to be clear about the questioner, the the interlocutor of theology. It seems to me modern theology, modern theologies have another interlocutor than liberation theology. After, to see this clearly, it's possible to establish the bridges between modern theology and liberation theology. But in the beginning, it is important to see the difference in the starting point. Who is the interlocutor, the questioner of modern theology, modern spirit, modern mentality? This is the questioner. The enlightened persons. The enlightened is, in the Western world, a very important fact. And often, not always, but often, above all, in the beginning of the Enlightenment, the modern mentality was the fact of non-believers, very often. Well, it is the questioner. And the modern spirit has some characteristics very, very important. One is critical reason. Critical reason is one important aspect of modern spirit. Everything must be judged by the critical reason. It's another conception about reason, different to the Greek or the old Greek mentality. It is one aspect, one characteristic, a critical reason. Another well-known is freedom, modern freedom. In this case, a little different to freedom in the Greek democracy also. And critical reason, modern freedom, are two reivindications of modern modern spirits. And but maybe the most important affirmation of modern spirit is to consider the individual as more or less an absolute beginning in the social field, for example. Society, for Aristotle, is a natural thing. It's the homo politicus, or animal politicus. But in for the modern spirit, society is the result of a contract, the social contract of Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Personal decisions, individual decisions, have as result society. It's the beginning. In economy, it's the same. Even today, the liberal mentality is this: it's the individual and its energies and possibilities is the beginning economy. And the market is the result of this individual initiative decision. in knowledge also, in knowledge, philosophical or scientific knowledge, the individual is the beginning. Everything must be criticized by the critical reason of individual. And individual, the us, more or less, absolute beginning, is a very, very important characteristic of modern spirit, with many other consequences, democratic way in society and so on. The big enemy for modern spirit is authority. In any field, not only in economy, is one aspect, but authority is the big enemy for modern spirit, because it's the affirmation of the individual values. And the modern spirit questioner, interlocutor of this kind of theology questions, ask many questions about religion. From the very beginning, what we call the Enlightenment was a question about religion for many reasons. Because religion, for modern mentality, is one expression of authority. For what reason we must believe? Is the authority of God or the authority of persons in the ecclesial or ecclesiastical institution? And religion is questioned by modern spirit. At the same time, for modern mentality, religion is too much linked to the past. Modern mentality considers modern times as more or less the end of the history of humanity. And the past, historically speaking, it was a moment where the persons were more or less children. And the question to religion from modern spirit is very, very hard. And the big question for theology in this case was very well formulated by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Lutheran theologian and martyr, German person. And Bonhoeffer has written, and this question is a very deep question, how to speak about God in an adult world. How to say a word about God in a world without necessity of God. In an adult world, we call this often secular world. How to speak about God? It is not only a theological question. I think it is a question about the announce of the gospel. In the ecclesial vocabulary, it's a pastoral question. For this reason, it's so challenging, because you know, from pastoral questions you have new theology. From theological questions you have new books. And Bonhoeffer is in the beginning of a new reflection in theology, because the question was very deep. How to do that? How to speak to persons, to people, without the necessity to affirm God in order to understand their human existence. The hypothesis God is not necessary for a secular person, and how to speak on God to this person, and how to pray For what reason to pray? To ask what is not necessary. And I think the question of Bonhoeffer was formulated in a very long sentence by Kant, Immanuel Kant. He was very clear, he was a very good Christian, he was very clear about what was new in the Enlightenment. Kant spoke about the coming age of humanity, how to be Christian in this maturity of humanity. It seems to me this question, we can say the question formulated by Bonhoeffer, is the big question of modern theology. And modern theologies are attempts to answer this question, how to speak about God in an adult world. From the last century, in some way, there is some discussion about this point, but in some way we can say Friedrich Hegel was above all a theologian. He has made theological studies, but he was conscious about his difficulties to preach. He was a very bad speaker, and for this reason he he has taken distance of this. It's a good example to follow. And Hegel, the philosophy of Hegel is theology in one aspect. And he has tried to answer this question. And he has chosen a field to answer this question. How to do relevant Christian faith for a secular person? The term secular is more recent, but the idea was present. How? And he has chosen a field, history. In history, we can understand the meaning of Christian faith. And until now, the thought of Hegel has so big influence, because he has tried in above all in the Christian circles, but not only. Certainly, he was a genius. Unfortunately, he knew it. But in the beginning of many trends in theology and philosophy also, we have this effort of this man. But you know, it is the case of another big theologian, from very different to Hegel, but modern person also, is one of the founders of the Protestant theology, and recent Protestant theology, Schleiermacher, another German, but this is not my responsibility. And Schleiermacher has chosen another field, feeling. Feeling is the field to do relevant Christian faith and the presence of God. Even today, more recently, another name is Gogarten, German also. In front of the fact of secularization, he has made a very important distinction. One thing is the historical process of secularization, another thing is the ideology, secularism. Secularization is good, secularism is bad. Harvey Cox has taken this after, the first Harvey Cox, because now he is in another way. It's a very young spirit, changed very, very, very often. And this distinction is one way to avoid the criticism to religion, because Gogarten says the Christian faith is not rich by the criticism coming from the modern spirit. Because Christian sects not only accept the secularization, the secular world, but is a very important factor in this process of secularization. But more recent theology, political theology, Moltmann, Metz, the first Metz, he has changed also, more open to poor countries, more and more, really. And, but when I say the first Metz is not the bad Metz, the very good theologian, and you know the idea, the central idea of political theology is to struggle against the privatization of Christian faith. But the privatization of Christian faith is one result of the Enlightenment. For the modern mentality, religion is a private question. As so often today in Europe, I don't know very well, I don't know your context here, but certainly France is a very secular country, and for many French persons, religion is a private question, never public. The North American in the United States are very strange in many regards, but you know, they are modern, and at the same time, religion is very public question in the States. They are asking all the time, what is your church, your denomination? Never a French person asked this question. Never. It's private. But for the North Americans, no. It is often and spontaneous. And Reagan was finishing his speeches, God bless you. It's not secular, apparently. Never a man as Charles de Gaulle, he was a very good Catholic, going to the Mass every Sunday. Never God is present in his political speeches. Never. Because politics is a very different thing. Nothing to do with this. For what reason political theology put the accent in deprivatization? In one manner to answer questions coming from modern mentality. Well, we can take the same schema in order to speak about liberation theology. What is the interlocutor of liberation theology? It's not the modern spirit. We have very few modern spirits in Latin America, some intellectuals. And is not exactly the non-believer. In the Western world, atheism is a very important question for believers. Well, we have some atheist persons also, but it's not our main challenge. Our interlocutor, our questioner is the non-person. It's not the non-believer, but the non-person. Well, when I say non-person, I mean those who are not considered persons by our society. Every human being is a person, but they are not considered as such, as persons with rights and so. This is our questioner. Is the insignificant, is the poor, is the questioner for this theology. And what is questioned by the insignificant person, by the non-person? Not religion, not first of all, but society, social structure. It is questioned by the insignificant person. On the contrary, they are very religious in general. The poor in my continent, they are very religious. Religion is not the the question for them as such, the affirmation of religion, but society, yes. And for us, our question is not exactly the question of Bonhoeffer. How to speak about God in an adult world? Because we have not an adult world in this sense. A secular world we have this certainly in Latin America, but in very few places and in minorities. Our question is different. Our question is how to say to the insignificant person, God loves you. It is our question. How to speak about God, as always, in theology, but how to say to the poor, God loves you. It is our challenge. When I say how to do that, clearly I am not speaking in the very formal way. It's always easy to say to the poor, God loves you. But concretely, what is the way? In my parish, in my homilies, sometimes, starting from any biblical text, I must say this, God loves you, because it's the only one subject. And how to do that? And I try, it's only a methodological question, I try to preach thinking to this very theoretical possibility. One day, one person in my church can ask me, you are really a very good humorist. You repeat every Sunday, God loves you. And you know our daily living. Do you think really it is the presence of love of God in our lives? Well, this case, I am sure, because they are very good friends of mine, it's almost impossible, certainly. But for me, it's very important, methodologically, to avoid a very formal manner to say this, to speak about the love of God. And I can say from the beginning, this question is larger than our possibilities to answer this question. Our answer tries to deal with this question, but the question is very large. For me, it's more or less impossible to say, from my theology, liberation theology, I have an exact response to the question, God loves you. But it is the place of liberation theology. Liberation theology is a reflection trying to answer this question. The love of God present in the non-poor lives. It is the question of this theology. You see, we have it's a little schematic, certainly. You know, I had a professor doing often schemas in the blackboard, and he said frequently, my schema is bad, but I need this to avoid, in order to avoid, you are making another worse. It's always possible. Certainly because the schema is too rigid, we are dealing with ideas. Well, but at the same time, it has the advantage to be more or less clear. Our starting point is not the starting point of modern theology. Liberation theology is not the left wing of political theology. It's not a radical theology coming from political theology. Our starting point is different. It's too rigid because I think the non-person is not only an interlocutor for people living in the poor continent. In some way, the poor are interlocutor for other persons also. Which is what in my schema is this juxtaposition of two theologies. Well, but we are living in the same planet. And it's not possible to say, this is good for Europe, it's not good for Latin America, this is good for No, this is juxtaposition. But it's one way to understand. Because our main question is how to deal with our possibilities to answer, to speak about God. You know, because we are conscious about this question, the source of our question, for this reason, one book, among others, but one book in the Bible was so relevant for us, is the book of Job. Because the book of Job is about language on God. This is the subject. The subject, you know well, is not the evil. The philosophical reasons to understand the evil in the history of humanity. This is not the subject of the book of Job. The subject is how to speak about God. The question is speaking. In the very beginning, in the first chapter, and in the last chapter. The question is speaking. How to speak about God? Taking into account the suffering of the poor is not easy. I must say, this question is larger than our possibilities to answer. But we try. We try not only doing theology, but trying to be present in the first moment. How to say to the poor people, God loves you, only through a theological book is not possible. It's a so concrete manner, and we need to be with them, to be friends of them, to struggle with them against injustice in several ways. And this is the manner, not the manner. But this is some way in order to answer the question. Well, we have until now two important points for me in the question of methodology in theology. One, theology is a language about God, and we distinguish there two moments, Christian life, and reflection. It's obvious, I know this very well. But you know, in order to do seriously theology, it is important to see the place of the theological reflection. What is really important is to be Christian. This is really important. And reflection is relevant also, but comes after. And when theology substitutes the Christian message, it's terrible. Or substitutes Christian life. And theologians must be conscious about their modest place in Christian life. I am not affirming this, trying to take some distance in front of theology. It's one aspect of my life. I love theology, really. But at the same time, well, for me it's more important to be Christian. The reason of my affirmation yesterday, and John has recalled this, I don't believe in liberation theology. Well, it seems a little rhetorical, because theology is not the matter of my faith. It's my reflection about my faith. It's different. It is the place. And the second main affirmation until now is a theology is in some way an answer to questions. To questions present in the world in which the Christian communities are living and announcing the gospel. And I have a great respect, I have many criticisms also, toward modern theology. I think it really is a very important theology, the different trends. It's not exactly my theology. It was my theology, because I was a student here in Europe. And Vatican II, in the Catholic milieu, is rather, in the very moderate way, but rather in this place, is modern theology. Vatican II for a Catholic is a very great event in of this century. At the same time, the questions, the problems, the issues coming from the poor are not present there. We can explain this easily. We must avoid to be anachronic in this question. Anachronical, certainly. I can explain, but it's not my problem. It's not there. It's not there. I remember, this is very personal experience, I was in the council for the fourth session, and the conclusion of the fourth session was the 7th and 8th December 1965, 2 days, the conclusion. And many people were very happy at the end of the council. They were right, really was very important. Myself, I was very happy also. Many of the periti, the experts of the council, were my professors in Louvain or in Lyon. It was my European side was very happy. At the same time, my Latin American side, no, really no. And I remember I have a hat, and I have still this, I have conserved this, to go to the conclusion of the council. And I have preferred to remain in my place in Rome. I was in a house there. I was not in the conclusion present. The history has not noted my absence, you know. But for me it was important. Well, I was not there because I had mixed feelings. In some regard, I was really very happy. My theology was, in some way, the victory of this theology. Well, but for my Latin American experience, the beginning, in the 60s, I say it is not exactly our question. For me, it was a very important, almost crucial day, because I have understood a little better my complicity in that moment, maybe today, but now is unconscious. In that time was very conscious. With modern theology, at the same time, the new challenge, the new question. And in some way, this experience is a very important element in the work of liberation theology some years after. Well, to finish this presentation, I have a third point, a short rather, is this. Theology, today our subject is methodology. Theology is always a dialogue, even confrontation, between faith and human reason. In the old times, was the philosophy of how is the pronunciation in English? Plotinus? Or Plotini? I don't know. Is the Greek philosopher. No, it's not Platon, it's Plotinus. It's after Platon. It was important, this philosophy, for St. Augustine, for example, not only. And later, the Greek philosopher Aristotle, for the Middle Ages, Thomas Aquinas and others, and the dialogue between faith and human reason, the concrete manner to establish this dialogue was the dialogue between faith and philosophy. And more concretely, Aristotelian philosophy. Well, the presence of human culture and human reason in the theological work is very classic. Today, we have not only philosophy as expression of human reason. We have also science, natural science, social science, human science. In the old times, philosophy was the expression of human reason. Today, it is not true. We have other ways. And if it is so, you know, for some traditional theologians, it's very difficult to accept this. You are very, very nice persons, you accept this quickly. But theologians have some difficulty. And in the Catholic milieu, the education in theology supposed philosophy first. And today, a little psychology, some notions about sociology, but philosophy is the reason, is human reason, which is not true today. Therefore, as over a man as Teilhard de Chardin, French Jesuit, was to try to understand faith from the natural science, was a great surprise for theologians. How to call Jesus Christ, for example, taking the question of evolution, how to call Jesus Christ the point Omega, because it was very important. All was going to the point, according to Teilhard de Chardin, to the point Omega, Jesus Christ. And the traditional theologian says, to call Jesus Christ point Omega, incredible. Well, but they call God first motor, and they are very quiet. No problem. For what reason? Because it's Aristotelian. For what reason we can speak about God? Love, life, first motor. Strange. And for what reason is it impossible for Teilhard de Chardin to call Jesus Christ point Omega? And in liberation theology, philosophy is relevant, because it's relevant for any person. some philosophers, more than others, one very important for us, I don't know if it's known in this country, is Levinas. Levinas is a Dutch, but living in France, as a Jew. It's a philosopher, which is a reflection, philosophical reflection, with a very biblical inspiration. Well, it's on one name. But social science are relevant for us also, because poverty is so important. And poverty, one aspect, central aspect, not the only one, but certainly very important aspect of poverty is the economic and social situation. And we need to know something about social science in order to understand the causes, the reasons of poverty. I have said this yesterday. To describe poverty is not enough. And at the same time, it's not conflictual. But if you try to understand the reason of poverty in this moment, you are indicated the responsibility in poverty today in the world. Well, social science is a tool. It's not the pejorative sense of tool. It's a mean, it's a tool in order to understand this aspect of poverty. And it is the reason of the presence of social science in liberation theology. We cannot avoid, but we need social science in order to understand one important dimension of poverty, social, economic, political dimension of poverty. We have had many difficulties with this presence of social science in our theological reflection, because, I repeat, the traditional theologians were not accustomed to this. And we were accused of many, many things to employ, probably you have heard this also, to employ the science or the Marxist analysis. Some years ago, the Time magazine, the American magazine, has written this. Theology of Liberation is a synthesis between Christianity and Marxism. It is by far the most original contribution to contemporary theology of Time magazine. By far! Because it is not possible to do a synthesis of this aspect. It's not possible. It's impossible to do a theology as synthesis between Freud and Christian faith. Freud can be relevant maybe for us, but synthesis, another thing. We cannot do this kind of synthesis, impossible. But at the same time, we need social science. And in the contemporary social science, we have notions coming from the Marxist analysis. Many notions coming from that. Many other notions coming from Max Weber, other big names, Weber for you. this presence of Marxist notions in social science is a fact. They are there. And as Freudian notions are in the contemporary psychology. If one person speaks about, for example, unconscious, or, I don't know, or in English the expression, the defense mechanism. It comes from Anna Freud, the daughter of Freud. But it's an important notion in psychoanalysis. Well, if you speak so, you are not necessarily Freudian. But today, unconscious is one aspect of the contemporary culture. Before Freud, no one was speaking about unconscious. It's a new notion. Well, in social science, we have these notions, sometimes above all in the contribution of the Latin American social science, in order to understand our situation. And all this important for us, theologically speaking, for other reasons, politically or sociologically, one person can take many other notions. In this moment, I am speaking from theology. From theology, we need to know poverty and social structures and the reasons of poverty. And the human discipline useful in this case is social science. For the reason is present. At the same time, social science, as any science, is changing very much. For example, 25 years ago, what was called the theory of dependence was very important for us in liberation theology. Today, the economist people, sociologist people, many of them are far from this theory of dependence. Well, it is not so relevant for us today, because what is a characteristic of science is to advance by hypothesis. In one moment, 25 years ago, this theory, the main affirmation was the condition of the poor countries is dependent on rich countries. Well, it is not false, even today, but the whole theory of dependence, it has not the same value today for many sociologists and economists, and normally for us in theology. But the presence of this kind of thinking, this kind of intellectual discipline is important for us. If we must be serious in our commitment to the poor, to be in solidarity with the poor means to be against poverty and against social injustice. And we need to know the social structure, mechanism of this. Well, in liberation theology, as in a very classic manner, human reason is present through philosophy and through social science also. And we try to be in dialogue with new intellectual trends in these different fields, because it is one part of the theological work. We have another expression, but really not so relevant for us right now. But important, very important for many of persons doing theology in Latin America. For example, only one example without explanation, the relation with literature, above all poetry. For me it's a very important question in theology. And I have worked in these last years some great Peruvian poets and novelists, because I think in order to find a language about God, we need to know this, because it's very present in my people. It's different. But it's one expression also of human culture. Well, now I would like to finish. And I have said in my first point, theology is a second act. It is a methodological question. Well, you know well the word method comes from the Greek, hodos. Hodos means the way. To have a method is to have a way, an intellectual way, to understand something. Well, and you have remarked maybe in the book of Acts, in the Bible, in the New Testament, one word is employed very often, speaking about Christian faith and Christian community, the first church. This word is hodos, the way. 9 times in the book of Acts, Christian faith, Christian community is called the way. For example, it is said Paul was against the way, against Christians, against the way. Well, I recall this because it seems to me the big way is to be Christian, is the big way. Inside of this way, in order to be Christian, we have another way, intellectual way, method, theology. And we have the large way to be Christian, to belong to a Christian community. I am speaking about theology. And inside of this large way, we have another narrow way, a second act, is the hodos, the intellectual way, wrote hodos, inside of this. That is to say, in order to do theology, we must be inside of the way to be Christian. It's another manner to say theology in a second act. But one point is important, recalling this. It seems to me, for us, this is my last affirmation, for us, the theological methodology is our spirituality. It is our, because our spirituality is to be Christian and to reflect after. It is, to be Christian is to pray, to be committed to other persons, especially the last ones, and to reflect in the light of the Christian message about this practice. We try to explain theology in this way. Theology is a reflection on praxis in the light of Christian faith. It's a reflection on praxis, but in the light of Christian faith. Otherwise, it's not theology exactly. Well, our manner to do theology is rooted in our spirituality. Spirituality means to follow Jesus Christ, to try to be disciple of Jesus Christ. Our methodology must be very serious and intellectually serious, but it's inside of this manner to be Christian. My maybe it's very clear for you, my affirmation, but my idea is this. Theology is not something made by an individual, but by a member of a Christian community. If we share our hope and faith with other Christians, we are able to reflect really about this. For this reason, we say often in Latin America, the subject of liberation theology are the Christian community. It is the reason of this. Because it's from the daily life as Christians, in solidarity with the poor, struggling against justice in different political ways, or social or pastoral ways, inside of this commitment, we try to be Christians and to reflect about faith. I am convinced they are very simple ideas, but for us, they are very important points in order to understand not only our theology, but above all, our life as Christians in my continent. Well, tomorrow I would like to speak about the announce of the gospel. As the goal, the ultimate goal of this theological reflection. Thank you very much.
Time for some questions, and I think probably for about two questions this evening, but while you're thinking of your questions, let me draw your attention to the fact that these lectures are being recorded both on videotape and on audio tape, and there will be a representative of the virtual production company, who is this gentleman in front of me, and various of his friends will be available at the end of the lecture for anyone who would like to place orders for those tapes. Now, are there any questions, please? If you ask a question, would you like to speak out as loudly as you can so that the maximum number of people can hear? And I think David Bevington there caught my eye first.
You speak of the value of people, but it's a logic thing. And you speak of two moments very much in the game in first. First, Christian life, the second, reflection of Christian life. They can all the way insist on 3 points in the triad. You've already seen on 3 points. Is there indeed a synthesis of those? Is that what you're suggesting spirituality is? If so, how does spirituality synthesize those first 2 months?
Well, maybe it's too. I understand and I am grateful for your question. Maybe it's too rigid, maybe. Probably this Hegelian background is important for this. But you know, St. Anselm of Canterbury was not Hegelian. Easy to explain. And for me, it was an aspiration, this credo ut intelligam, this idea of two moments, or St. Augustine. A historical fact, the fall of Roman Empire, and a reflection. Well, I think it is in Hegel, because Hegel was Christian also, very special Christian. He was especially anything. But maybe for this reason. You know, I am not sure if spirituality is a synthesis. For me, it's the ground. Well, it's one way maybe to say the same thing, maybe. But for me, it's the ground. And we cannot do theology if we are not followers of Jesus Christ. It's the condition of theology, strictly speaking. A non-believer can be interested in religion and reflect about this question. But strictly speaking, I think it's the ground. And my main question is this. When I was a student in theology, I have read a very important book. Not so the person is known. The book is not so known. The person is a Dominican French father, Marie-Dominique Chenu. The book is The School of Sorcerer, the place close to Paris. Well, in this book, I was a student in theology, Chenu says this. If we want to understand a theology, we need to ask for the spirituality behind this theology. If we want to understand the theology of Thomas Aquinas, who was a Dominican, we need to know the Dominican spirituality. You know, in that moment, when I was a student, I was not thinking to liberation theology. But it was very important for me. Because it is true, often we think, we ask, what is the theology behind this spirituality? Because Christians are very Greek persons, above all Catholics. Catholics are the last Greeks in history. And we think the ideas are always behind. Well, it is not true. Life is behind. And spirituality is there. This point, for me, now, reflecting about these ideas, comes rather from this. Well, but my intention is not to refuse this Hegelian background, but I would like not to exaggerate this only. I think we have Christian roots in this manner to see theology or to do theology. I am the more and more convinced it is not original of liberation theology. It's rather traditional, but good tradition. I am not afraid of the word tradition. For me, it's not an insult. It depends on tradition. But these are basic affirmations in the history of Christianity. And we try to recall this in our time, in our context.
Well, I think we certainly have time for one more question. Yes, the person just behind the second section.
The social injustice and the poverty that you've spoken of last night and tonight are global problems throughout the whole world. Not all the people in the world are Christians. Do you believe that there are any non-Christian theologies which are relevant today?
Well, non-Christian theology, yes, other religions, but you know, I believe above all, I have the experience of the commitment against justice, against injustice of many non-Christians. For what reason to call the reflection theology? Theology supposes God, Theos. And for what reason to call this honest reflection, philosophical or sociological, for what reason to call this theology? It seems to me it's almost a totalitarian manner of Christians to call theology everything that is good. I regret, I don't need to call this theology. But we have, even in Latin America, I say this even because it's above all mainly a Christian continent, but many non-Christian persons living their lives in solidarity with the poor. And they are our best friends there. We have many points in common. And finally, maybe the same sense or similar sense of the existence. And, I don't know, maybe God. But you know, I try to avoid this idea, the speaking with a non-believer, to say, you say you are a non-believer. You are a true believer. I don't like this manner. We must respect the person. If one person says, I am non-believer, it's non-believer. Point. For what reason to say, no. You are the true believer. It's not serious. I will not be happy if one person says, you say you are Christian. You are a good, true atheist. I don't have it. I don't agree with you. For what reason? He can say, this person can say, I agree with you. We have many points in common. I respect your ideas. But for what reason to call me atheist if I say I am Christian? You know, to respect another, thinking is not to take distance. But to be clear, dialogue supposes at least two persons. At least. And in order to dialogue with someone, we must be conscious about our own personality. My personality is not the exclusion of the other. It's my way. The other has his way. I have spoken about literature. For me, it's very, very important. Well, our most important novelist, Peruvian, is José María Arguedas. Sorry to quote myself, but I have dedicated my first book to this man. He was not a Christian. He was a very good friend of mine. And with many, really, a very deep person, he was not a Christian. And for me, was more honest than many other persons affirming I am Christian, but he was not a Christian. And a very close friend, who is very similar views in many aspects. And I have tried to understand the thought of this man, is a poet also, and I have dedicated my book to a non-Christian. But I cannot say, the theology of Arguedas, I don't see for what reason. The thought of Arguedas, the views of Arguedas, for what reason to take a so confessional term to speak about this? I don't see the necessity to do that, but not because I want to keep theology for us believers, but because I respect other manners to see human existence. I am sure one day after my death, I will have the opportunity to talk with Arguedas for a long time. I can ask, really, you were atheist? Really? But now I respect.
Well, I think that's a most appropriate point to draw this to a close this evening. I think you'll agree with me that Father Gustavo has given us a lot of energy, a lot of things to think about, and I think if you're like me, you'll be looking forward to the final and third installment tomorrow evening. So thank you again.
Thanks very much.